Okay, New Life Church, Big Screen is coming our way. It's our favorite series every year. This is where we grab our friends and we grab our mama and we go to church. It's when we teach the Word of God with movies. It's basically parables. We're going to take stories that people know about and we're going to teach them about the Word of God. I love the series. You do too? Let's go for it. Don't forget, bring your friends. Big Screen Series 2016.
Man, I'm looking forward to that series in July. Listen, I am James Dearman. I pastor the campus in Heber Springs. My wife, Kamani, who's the real pastor there, as Matt pointed out aptly, she's here with me. Also have some leaders from our campus. Stuart and Wendy Dalrymple are with us. Let's give all of them a hand. Love these guys, especially my wife. How many of y'all love the Spirit of God in this place? Anybody? How many of y'all love the air conditioning in this place? Yeah, me too. It is summer. Oh, my goodness. It is summer. And I have four boys, so that means that all four of my boys are home. And one of them is in college, but he's back home. And so there's a lot of fun, a lot of fighting going on in my house. And it's funny. My youngest, his name is Jonathan. He's 7 years old. So we have a 24-year-old and a 7-year-old and some teenagers in between there. And so, pray for us. So my 7-year-old, I guess he's just contemplating summer. And so he's there with his brothers around, and he says, "This is the longest weekend ever." But one of his older brothers said, "You mean summer?" And he was like, "Oh, yeah." So in his mind, this is just like the massive weekend. How many of y'all love the way a little kid's mind works, man? I just love it. And I'll tell you this, if you have little kids at home, appreciate that. Please spend time with them, hug them a little more, because here's what I've realized now that we have our little caboose coming up, Jonathan, that they don't stay like that very long. And so just spend time with them, have fun with them. And I know I just made all the moms depressed in here. I'm sorry about that. So moving on. Hey, Rick and Michelle are in China with our missions pastor, Dr. Q. And here's something interesting. Dr. Q is on his 50th trip to China. 50th. I know that's pretty cool, right? And here's something else. His birthday was a few days ago, and I found this out, that his birthday this year fell on what's called National Selfie Day. Now, okay, that's right. Y'all know Dr. Q. I can tell. If you don't know why that's funny, just go and follow him on Instagram, and you'll figure out that, because man could put out some selfies. So speaking of Pastor Rick, can I just honor Pastor Rick for just a second? Can I do that? Look, my wife and I, we love Pastor Rick and Michelle. We love the way they pursue the vision that God has given us at this church and the way they lead us. But we just love the fact that they're pastors. Listen, your pastor, Rick and Michelle, they genuinely love people. And so when we're in pastor meetings, you know what we're talking about most of the time? We're talking about you. Some of y'all got nervous on that, I know. But I mean like in a good way. We are a lot of the summer, actually, what we're doing is just talking to each other, and this is Rick's heart, is how can we pastor this church better? How can we take care of your family? We know that's our calling from God. All of your pastors know that. And so we're seeking God a lot right now about how we can improve and be the best that we can be in that area. Amen? I just wanted you to know that. So it's a real thrill for me and a privilege to be able to teach the word this weekend. And we are in the year of the Bible. I'm enjoying that. It's a pastor's dream to have the congregation actually reading the Bible. And so we're excited about that. 2 Kings chapter 5 is where we're going to be. And this is actually a story that we read a couple of days ago. And 2 Kings chapter 5, we'll stay there today. And we're looking at a story about a guy named Naaman. Now, Naaman was not an Israelite. He was a foreigner. In fact, he was from an enemy nation. He was an Aramean. And here's the cool thing, though. Listen, God did an incredible work in this foreigner's life. And so actually this story is a foreshadowing of what was going to come in the New Testament. You see, it's a foreshadowing of how Jesus would come and God would spread salvation through Jesus and through his church from Israel all to all the nations of the earth. And so this is a really cool story. Look at verse 1. It says, "The king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army." So that's who this is. He's the commander of the Aramean army. "Because through him, the Lord had given Aram great victories." Now stop right there. I think it's interesting. This country didn't know the Lord, but it says that the Lord gave them victory. I think this is a great statement of God's sovereignty right here in the Word of God. So look, it says he was a commander. Naaman was successful. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, look at this part. He suffered from leprosy. Let that sink in. Here's a man who's actually admired by his king, right? He's a commander. In fact, he is the commander of the army. He's like that five-star general that sits on the Joint Chiefs of Staff. That's him. He's well-respected. He's revered. He's important. And he's also successful. He's very good at what he does. Sounds just like you, right? And so this is Naaman. And so I want you to get this. He's sophisticated. He's successful. But, and this is a big issue, he has leprosy. And so I just want to put this into perspective for our day. Imagine the most successful and most sophisticated person in this room right now. If that's you, raise your hand. Some guy in the back, I think, rose his hand. I'm so sorry. Now, listen, imagine that person, very successful, sophisticated. Imagine that person has AIDS now, okay? You got it? That's Naaman. That's who he is. Now, leprosy was not an STD, but I'm telling you, it had a stigma associated with it. And in those days in Israel, it was considered sinful. It was considered unclean. And if you lived in Israel with that disease, you had to isolate yourself from the community. And if anybody got too close to you, you had to cover your face and you had to yell, unclean, unclean, so everyone knew that you had this disease. The New King James Version talks about Naaman in this way in this passage. It says basically he was all these great things, and it goes through the list, and he was a mighty warrior, and he had a lot of valor, but, everybody say but. But he was a leper. And here's what I know. Studied this week, and I figured this out. Everyone in this room, every one of you, all of us have a but. Thank you, Captain Obvious, right? But I'm not talking about that. I'm saying that it's that one thing. That one thing in our lives that keeps us from God's best. That one thing that is hindering us from being all that God designed us to be and to do in our lives, man. And thinking about it that way, some of us have multiple buts and really big multiple buts, right? Let's keep moving. So Naaman, looks like the Bible says, right? Naaman was a great man of valor, but he was a leper. She's a great mom, but she's terrible at finances, and it's ruining their family. He's a successful businessman, and he's a pretty cool dude too. But he gets drunk every night. Are y'all tracking with me? See this? Man, she's a beautiful young girl, but she was abused, and now she hates herself. Man, that guy over there, he's got so much potential. Man, but he won't take advice from anybody. That guy right there, he's a good guy. Man, he's got a great heart, but he's a coward. He has no confidence. Or that guy's a great preacher, but he's a terrible person. Are y'all with me? Yeah. Okay, we're getting too close to home here. Let's keep going. My wife's shaking her head right now. Hey, like Naaman, you could have a lot of things going for you. In fact, you probably do. But, and all of you can fill in that blank. Just fill in that blank. You know what it is, or you might think you know what it is. Here's the thing, it's probably not leprosy, right? It's probably not physical, although it could be something physical. It's a problem. It is a need in your life. It is an issue, and it could be a health issue. It could be financial. It could be a relationship problem. It could be something emotional. But sometimes, here's what I've noticed, sometimes what we think is the greatest need in our life is not. And God wants to dig in and help us figure out what that is. And listen, hey, sometimes we hear a message and we think, man, I wish so-and-so was here. Okay, time out. Y'all look at me. This message is for you. Say, this is for me. It's not for the person who's not here. You're here. It's for you. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take some notes. I want you to really think about this, because the Word of God, here's what it's going to do. It's going to set you up for a moment with God at the end of this. So if you're ready, say, I'm ready. All right, so let's keep going with this story. Naaman and his wife, they had a little Israelite servant girl who was basically a maid for them. And some of y'all, you think God's speaking to you right now already. You're like, yeah, that's what I need, a maid. That's not the moment with God, okay? That's not it. You're missing God. This little girl, though, she suggests that Naaman should go back to her home country of Israel and should see the prophet. She's referring to Elisha. That he should see the prophet there because he would heal Naaman of his leprosy. How about that faith from a little Jewish girl? I like that. Look at verse 4. So Naaman, he told the king of Aram what the young girl from Israel had said. So look, he says, go and visit the prophet, the king of Aram told him. So the king sends Naaman to the king of Israel with a letter and a lot of money and some gifts. And he tells him, hey, heal my servant Naaman. Well, the king of Israel freaks out. This is a great story. And he's like, what is this guy trying to do? Pick a fight with me? Who am I, God? How am I supposed to heal somebody of leprosy? Elisha, the prophet, gets word of this. And I love this guy. Look what he tells the king of Israel. He says, look at this. Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel. How many of y'all love confidence? Elisha never lacked confidence. His mentor, Elijah, yeah, he had a little bit of issue with it, but Elisha never lacked confidence. Look at this. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots, and he waited at the door of Elisha's house. So here he is, Naaman. Remember this. He's a pagan, okay? He doesn't even know God. But I want you to notice the effort that Naaman goes through to get before God with his need. And this is what you need to catch first. Look, he told the king about how he heard that God could heal him. He actually travels to another country, takes a bunch of people with him, takes gifts and money, and then he goes and tracks down Elisha, goes to his house. Here's what you need to write this down. Look, when trouble hits, when you have a need in your life, you need to do whatever it takes. Do anything that it takes to get before God. Amen? That's what you need to do. Remember, this guy was from a country that did not acknowledge God, and he asked permission to go and seek God. Now, some of you in this place, I know this, some of you here, you gave your heart to Christ because of a need in your life, right? That's how God drew you to himself. You were desperate. You had a need. Maybe it was you were going through a divorce. It can be terrible. Maybe you lost a job or even worse, you lost a loved one, or maybe you dealt with depression, or maybe it's just this presidential race we're in right now. I don't know. Come on, somebody, right? I just got some of y'all depressed again, just mentioning that. But trouble in your life, here's what I've noticed. It will make you go one of two ways. Trouble will either make you blame God and run far away from him. God, it's your fault, and just run. Or if you're smart, because see, some of you are in trouble today. And if you're smart, trouble will cause you to run to God in full desperation mode. And this is, we're going to see this later in the story. But y'all know what desperate looks like? I'm not referring to your dating life, okay? Desperate. You know what desperate? Desperation. My wife and I, we were missionaries in Brazil for 3 years. In fact, one of my children was born there. And So we were there, and we planted a church, and my wife and I were leading a life group in this woman's house. And so one of the meetings, I went to the bathroom in her house, and I used to have one of those. We all had these old Nextel phones. I'm talking 15 years ago. And y'all remember those things? I was really cool, so I had it clipped to my belt, you know? It was like a yellow brick attached to my shorts. And I was in the bathroom there, finished up, okay? And that sucker slid right off my belt, bloop, landed right into the toilet, man. Oh, my goodness. And I had not flushed yet, so are you getting a mental picture with me? Good. Track with me. Enjoy. So I had a choice to make, man, desperate times, brother. Okay, so the choice was I could either leave that phone, you know, in the toilet. I can't imagine what she would have thought if I just walked away from there with it. Or the other choice is stick my hand in the dirty toilet and get my phone back. Well, I'm gonna tell you, I left with my phone. Okay, I chose that better part. Amen. Desperate times. I'm saying call for desperate measures, people. And that's just a fun example. But seriously, we've had times in our lives just like you have. That there were real desperate times. I remember when our youngest, Jonathan, I've already talked about him a little bit, but when he was born 7 years ago, he was in trouble. In fact, we were expecting a normal delivery with him like the other three, but no, Kamani had to have an emergency C-section in Conway, and so they found out he wasn't getting oxygen, like almost none, and so they had to med-flight him once he was delivered. They had to med-flight him to Children's Hospital. And so we were there in the hospital in Conway. Children's Hospital, talk about unnerving. Children's calls us, I think it was around midnight, and says, listen, we don't know if he's going to make it. man, we need permission to do a blood transfusion. I'm thinking he's just born, a blood transfusion. His lungs aren't working. He's not getting oxygen. We also need to put him on a breathing machine. And then we know this, that a lot of newborns that get on breathing machines, it's very hard for them to come off of that. And so we were looking at some rough times ahead. And man, for a parent, that is scary stuff. And so listen, he was there for 3 weeks. And here's the thing. We were desperate. We started praying. How many know you start praying? You really start seeking God, right? Not just throwing up a prayer. But you're, and we got everybody we know. We got our friends praying. And so he came through. God, I believe this. I believe this with all my heart. God healed him. And so he's alive, having fun and all that now. But I'm telling you, look, as a parent, when your kids are hurting or they're in serious danger, man, that is a time of desperation in your life. Am I right? Parents are in here, right? Listen, here's what you may not know about God, though. And here's what I want you to understand on this first point is that God likes it when we go to him during desperate times. Man, before we go to anybody else, like Rick says, before you go to your mama or your lawyer or anybody else, you go to God. You may not know this is in the Bible, but Psalm 50:15 says, God is telling you this today. Then call on me when you're in trouble. Look at that. Some of y'all feel ashamed. No. He says, then call on me when you're in trouble, and I will rescue you. And it actually, look what it does. And you will give me glory. So when you're in trouble and you're calling out to God, it actually gives God glory because he can do something about it. And he says, yeah, I'm God in your life. Do y'all get this? And so God, and again, I'm not talking about some casual prayer. God likes to see some fire in our hearts. Have you noticed that? I mean, he likes us to get real with him and desperate. It's like blind Bartimaeus in the Bible. You remember that guy? And he was blind, obviously. He's blind Bartimaeus. And so he yelled out, Jesus, heal me. He says, have mercy on me, son of David. And other people around him were like, shut up. Stop talking. You know what he did? He got louder and louder because he was desperate and he knew God could heal him. This is Jesus. Jesus got away intentionally and took a lot of effort to go away and seek God because he knew he needed God in his life. And here's what I'm telling you. It may cost you some time. It may cost you a lot of effort, some money even, some pride. But I'm saying when trouble comes, you need to get with God. Amen? All right, number two. Here's the reason why I tell you this. And this is where I really want to hit today. Because here's why. God wants to fix your deepest problem. Some of you are walking around. Here's the thing about this. You may think you know what that is, but you don't have a clue a lot of times. Your deepest problem, God knows, but you have a need in your life. But you have a deeper problem, and God wants to fix that, man. He wants to heal you. He wants to give you freedom in your life. We're going to see that in Naaman's life right here. So Naaman, he shows up with his whole posse there at Elisha's house. Elisha doesn't even come to the door. Look, verse 10. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message. Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored, and you will be healed of your leprosy. Now stop. This is a specific strategy from God for this man, Naaman. And he's doing this methodology in his life to evoke a certain response, and he gets it. Look at verse 11. He's digging into Naaman's life is what he's doing. Look, but Naaman became angry. Think about that. He became angry and stalked away. Have you ever had this in your life where somebody just rubs you the wrong way? You're like, that guy gets me so mad. Some of you, it's your spouse. Don't let on to that if it is. So that guy just gets me so mad. Can I just tell you, take a time out right there because that just could be God. You're like, no. It could be an idiot, too. I'll give you that. But it could be God using an idiot in your life. Come on, wave your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Y'all can simmer on that for the rest of the day and just let that go there. But this is what's happening in Naaman's life. He gets angry and he says, I thought the prophet would certainly come out to meet me. Isn't it true we have in our minds certain ways that God should do some things, right? Because we know, right? I thought he would certainly come out to meet me. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord his God and heal me. Aren't the rivers of Damascus, the Abana, and the Pharpar better than any of these rivers of Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed? So Naaman turns around and he went away in a rage. He's like, bro, I came to Israel for this? What? You were supposed to do something. You're a prophet. You're supposed to go and wave your hands around, wax on, wax off, do a little Mr. Miyagi action, something, man. I came from another country. By the way, I am an important man in my country. When I show up at your front door, you do not send a servant to meet me. You come yourself. And the Jordan? Are you kidding me? The Jordan? That is like a sewage ditch compared to the rivers back in my home. Y'all know what this is called? You know what this is called? You know what's coming out? It's called pride. That's right. Pride. And I want to talk to you a little bit about pride, because this is what God is getting at. And you know why I want to talk to you about it? Because for some of you, this is your deepest issue. And pride will always keep you from anything God has for you. Man, some of you, y'all think, wow, I'm not receiving. Look, you better check pride, because pride will set you up as an enemy of God. It's amazing, and it's terrible. The Bible talks about how pride is basically this. Pride says, I know better than God. I know how to do this. I know better than God. It's like that little boy that kept standing up in his seat, and his dad said, you need to sit down. Well, the little boy kept standing up. So finally, the dad just grabs hold physically of the boy, and he sits him in the seat, and he says, you're gonna stay sitting. And the boy looks at his dad and says, Dad, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Pride. Hey, we do this to God. Because y'all know, when we come to God, there's some things we really want to hear, right? Like, you are blessed and favored, O Mighty One. I'm going to give you everything. I mean, we want to hear some stuff like, we're going to hook you up. I'm going to make you happy. But if you would admit it, there's some things you don't really want to hear from God when you come to him, because you don't really want to do them. Not a whole lot of amens tonight. Everybody say pride. Listen, there are a lot of behaviors in the Bible. The Bible talks about wrong behaviors, and it says, you know, if you do this thing or that thing, you're going to suffer consequences. Pride is different. No, pride, the Bible says that God hates it and that he actively is aggressively against it. It's not like just this thing, oh, if you mess up here or there. No, it says that with pride, God will resist you if you're proud, and he gives grace to the humble. How many want to be on the right side of God? Okay? So how anybody in here ever had your pride knocked down just a little bit? Maybe one, two, three times in your life? Man, I have. I remember when we started the Heber campus. So I was working for a contractor. And I had a company truck, which was to be used for company business only. And we had to move church chairs into the church. And so I used my company truck, and I borrowed a friend's trailer and just loaded up those chairs on that trailer. And because, you know, we got to get the chairs in there. So I was probably in too much of a hurry. I was probably a little overconfident when I was backing up that trailer. And long story short, I jackknifed the trailer into the truck. Now, if you don't know what that is, go look it up. It ain't good. I crushed the back left fender, the whole wheel well of my truck. And man, I can still remember the sickening feeling. Just talking about it, I'm getting a little sick, you know. It's like, because I knew that meant I was going to have to walk into my boss's office. And I did. Walked into the owner's office, and I had to explain to him why I was using the company truck for personal business. Well, actually, it was God's business, really, but, you know, tried to work that angle a little bit in there. You talk about a pride buster. So embarrassing. But the worst was when the safety supervisor told me in a gruff voice, son, I think you need to sign up for some trailering courses. That's what you need. Because you're just no good at it. You're just not safe with it. Man, let me tell you something. That woman was so harsh with me. I was never her favorite. There's my wife shaking her head again. Okay, so think about this. Naaman, you know, Naaman had leprosy. You know, he thought that was his worst issue. Can I tell you this? Actually, leprosy was his second most serious disease, because he really had two kinds of leprosy in his life. Yeah, the physical, and yeah, that's serious. But he had a worse kind. Isaiah describes pride as spiritual leprosy. You know why? Because it'll separate you from God. It's much worse. Or like my kids say, way worser. Right? Way worser. And I know that's not good grammar, but it's pretty good preaching. It's way worser. And God was trying to do, so the most powerful healing God was trying to work in Naaman's life wasn't even physical. It was spiritual. And pride may not be your specific issue, but I'll tell you this, just like with Naaman, what God will do is he'll use the actual need, the apparent need in our life, to dig down and heal us of the bigger issue we have in our lives. Amen? And here's what you need to note too in this story, is that the way, the manner, the method in which God chooses to help you is just as important as the actual help. Think about that. Because in that is the lesson. In that is what you need to learn. You see, for Naaman, it was the fact that Elisha didn't come to the door and meet him, right? And he had to go wash in this dirty river. That was confronting Naaman's pride. Because for God, it's not like God just wants to get you back up on your feet and get you back to where you were in life. No. For Naaman, for instance, it's not like God wanted to just fix him up and send him back home with clearer skin. Oh, yeah. Was that the point, really? No, God wanted Naaman to know him. And he wanted to know Naaman. He's merciful, right? Our God is good. He knows what we really need. And this is what God does with us. And so he is gracious when he digs in, okay? He will deal with the deep, weak character issues in our lives. I know you love that about God, just like I do, all right? Not really, I hate that. But that's God, because he knows what we need. And God does know how to handle this. For instance, some of you, I hear this a lot. You know, some of you, you think, man, my schedule, my calendar is my biggest issue. Like, oh, God, help me learn how to do some time management techniques. And really what your real issue is, you're afraid of disappointing people, so you say yes to everybody. And so you get out. And so your schedule is slammed. And you know what God will do? Here's what God will do. Look for this. God will intentionally rig it up where you have to disappoint somebody. Yep, he does that. And then after you're done with all that process, you know what you'll figure out? That it ain't that big a deal to say no. And you're okay, and God is still on the throne, and that other person is still okay for the most part, right? And God, you know what he just did in your life? He just fixed the biggest problem you had that was keeping you from his best. Isn't God good? And now you can disappoint anybody. You disappoint everybody now, and you feel fine with it, right? So you're good. Some of y'all, though, you think, okay, I need to control my words, man. This is my issue. And God says, hold on. That's true, but let me deal with your heart. You got unforgiveness. That's what's really going on. And then your words will be taken care of. Are y'all still here? You're tracking with me? Some of you, you're like, hey, I love God, but I can't beat this addiction that I've been hanging on to all my life. I know I love God. And God says, you know what your biggest problem is? You don't know who you are in Christ. Let me show you who you are, and you won't deal with that as much anymore. Look at me. God is very good at this process. Amen? So back to Naaman. Verse 13. This gets really good. I love this part. So he's mad, right? He's mad about the method of how he's going to be healed. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he says simply, go and wash and be cured. Thank God for smart friends. Can I just say, some of us need more friends like this in our lives. In fact, if it weren't for these friends of his, this story would be done right here. Think about that. We need friends in our lives a lot of times to help us get what God is telling us. And so they're doing this for him. And the story is not over because he decides to listen. Verse 14, so Naaman went down to the Jordan River, and he dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed him. By the way, that is the point in our lives when we break from pride and we say, God, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm going to do it your way. And you know what happens then? Guess what comes then? Healing comes then. Look at this. And his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. Man, that was a good moment. That was a party moment right there. And so Naaman goes and finds Elisha, and get the gravity of this statement. He says, Naaman says this, I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Isn't that awesome? And so he offers a gift to Elisha. Elisha refuses. And then Naaman said, all right, but please allow me to load 2 of my mules with earth. Let me take some dirt, all right, from this place. And this is key. And I will take it back home with me. I want to talk about that. From now on, I will never again offer burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other god except the Lord. Naaman's saying, look, there's no other god now. I know it. I'll never worship another. He is so grateful. Remember, this was a spiritual healing that was really taking place, right? You know what this is a picture of? This is a great picture of salvation. When Jesus shows up in your life, right, and he cleanses you of your sin because of what he did on the cross, you receive that. Or maybe he just heals you of something that's been plaguing you for years, fear. He delivers you from a fear, whatever. He changes you on the inside, and you're so grateful. That's a picture of this. He changes you. Here's the point. Write this last one down, and then we're going to pray. What God does in you is always for others too. It's always for others too. So here's what goes on. Naaman, he asks for dirt from Israel. I find this a little funny. He asked for dirt to take back to his country. Now, dirt? Dirt, really? I don't know about you, but I mean, if I'm there, I can think of some better things to ask for, you know? A smoothie or I don't know, something, you know? I'm just dirt? But here's what's going on. You know, I was reading about this a lot this weekend. Naaman, he now knows there is only one God, and he has fully devoted his life to that God now. He's devoted to the one true God. But he knows he has to go back. He's got a job back home, a good job. He's got family back home. He's got friends. He has a life. But he's been hanging out in the land where the one true God lives. And listen to me, he realizes that's holy ground he's been on. And so he knows he can't stay there. And this is interesting to me. I think a lot of times when God does a work in our life, something great, we get a revelation, we kind of want to camp there, don't we? You know, it's like, oh, I want to stay. But you know what? This guy, he realizes, no, I got to go back home. I'm going to take it back home with me. What God has done, I'm taking this back home. And so God's plan for you is just that. Take it back home with you. Whatever he does in you, he also wants to do through you. It's really for your family. I mean, God heals you. It's for your family. It's for the people at your school. It's for the people on your job. It's for the people here at your church. This is who it's for because God, look, God loves them too. Jesus died for them. Everything the Father God did in and through Jesus, it was always about other people, right? Salvation is for all. Everybody say all. All who would call on the name of the Lord and be saved. It's not just for me. But here's what I want you to understand is that our pain that we go through, our suffering, some of you are in that right now. Our healing, our scars, it's not for nothing. It's for other people too. It's for people you love. God won't waste any of it. And I know at our campus, listen, we have life group leaders who are living this out. We have one particular person who started a life group for helping people find freedom in Christ. You know, Christians to find freedom in Christ. And man, it's going great. Lots of people are getting set free in all kinds of areas of their life. But you know why? Because that particular leader, they had a lot of that in their life they had to deal with. And Jesus had to take them through it first. Okay? Right? Another person I'm thinking about, she's a single mom at our campus. Well, she's been through a lot. She started a life group for single moms. And they're knocking it out of the park. Man, they've got great community happening in that group. Man, I'm just telling you, it's not for nothing. And so if you're here and you're going through a difficult season, maybe you're right in the middle of the trouble we were talking about. Listen, God is going to heal you of that thing. He is. If you drop your pride and you just say, look, I'm going to do it your way. He wants to heal you. He wants to get glory from your life. And he's going to use it. You're going to take it back home with you. And he's going to use it to heal others. Amen. There's a scripture Jesus said. He said this in Matthew. He said, freely you have received, freely give. Everyone in this place, just close your eyes with me. Bow your heads.